Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for the concluding segment of a very, very important conversation with a man that I believe brings uncommon clarity and insight to these issues of the security of the United States. He is informed by a deep knowledge of history, which is an extraordinary advantage over most of us, as well as a very thoughtful approach to what is coming, what is not obvious to the rest of us. Mark Halperin, you have written about so many of these issues for so long. You've been speaking publicly about them. Let me ask you to conclude this conversation by talking a bit further about, you called him a soft president, I think, earlier in the program, Barack Obama's doctrine, his legacy, and most especially, give us some thoughts about what we as a nation must do in the face of the kind of world that we're now confronting and that is likely to be with us for some time to come.
Okay, let me start with a very homely example. We were talking about EMP. You know, if you see videos of tornadoes that are taken from tornado chase, storm chasers, whatever, you see near the tornado these sudden white flashes, white explosions. Now, what are those? Those are little transformers, the kind that you see on poles on city streets, blowing because the tornado has put wires together and there's a surge of electricity and it blows the transformers. In the United States, we have substations and main stations, which have giant, giant transformers. There was an attack on one in California, and it seemed to be some sort of a test of a commando raid on a main power station. But if those, in an EMP, the big ones would blow with huge explosions. And here's an interesting fact. Those are made in South Korea. It would take years to replace those. The electric grid would be down for years because you need those transformers in, you know, several and hundreds of these big substations. Now, we don't have a stockpile of those. We don't have hardening against much less much of anything. We don't have the preparation that it would take to do research to find vaccines if there were an emerging pathogen, which would be on the scale of the Black Plague or the 1918 influenza epidemic, where scores of millions of people would die, everything would be overwhelmed. There has not been sufficient preparation under Republicans and Democrats, but particularly under this president, who sees no threat to the United States, or given his statements such as the he wants to fundamentally change the United States, quite ambitious and presumptuous. And his wife's statement that she's never been proud of the United States until her husband was elected president, which is a very high bar for being proud of the United States. There's a certain hostility, which in American discourse, people are somehow afraid or embarrassed to point out. But I've pointed it out since the beginning, since before he even got the nomination, that this president is hostile to what we know as the United States. He wants to change it. He wants a different country. And the best way to do that is to make it vulnerable to outside pressures. And these outside pressures are such that, again, as I said at the beginning, you're playing with fire because it's not just pressure. It can erupt into far worse than pressure. It can erupt into a war that you didn't envision and that has catastrophic consequences.
Yeah, and you're ill-prepared to deal with, indeed, once it goes down. And partly that is a function of the kinds of fundamental transformations that the president has already affected. We've talked a bit about what I think of as a kind of wrecking operation on the U.S. military. There's also been the hamstringing of our first lines of defense so that they're not allowed to understand or learn about even some of these threats in the name of political correctness, I guess, or civil rights and civil liberties, the Countering Violent Extremism program. When you look at all this and the posture that we now find ourselves in, what would your prescription be? Well, first of all, for an electorate shopping for a new commander-in-chief, but also what that new commander-in-chief must be about should he or she get into office.
I think that the first thing, the first prerogative and the first responsibility of a government is to defend the nation, because without that, everything else is gone. And it doesn't have to be an immediate, like a nuclear attack or an EMP or whatever. It could be gradual incrementalism, where the pressure is such that, like playing chess, over time, you maneuver your enemy. In which case, we would be the enemy of these outside forces in the international system, so that someone would arise. Political movements would arise in the United States to do their bidding. And in fact, I think this is essentially what has happened of late. So what I would want would be a revolution. Bernie Sanders calls for a revolution in American politics. I think there should be a revolution in American politics. But unlike what Bernie Sanders wants, of course, I wouldn't want what he wants, but my revolution would be simply to restore what we had for most of our existence as a nation, which is the idea that it is okay to defend ourselves, and that it's not only okay, but it's essential. And we've abandoned that idea. We've chased enemies who distract us, and which sometimes was justifiable in many cases, but at the expense of letting down our guard in a larger sense. That's the essential thing for America. And by the way, for those who are Trump supporters, he would not do it because he doesn't have the vaguest idea of how to do it. And he's really not interested in that as a primary function of the president. No matter what he may say, he's just playing to the audience. He's mainly interested in himself. We need a commander-in-chief who is versed in these things and who is not embarrassed to defend the country and who has the both the wit and the will to do so.
Well, we'll be watching very closely how Donald Trump, among other candidates, refine their positions on this critically important portfolio. As you say, Mark Halperin, it is the first responsibility of government, and it's one that we have neglected, I'm sorry to say, and this really is something implicit in your remarks, for quite some time now under Republican as well as Democratic presidents. Let me just ask you, if I could, in the remaining 2.5 minutes or so we have, how would you assign priorities to rebuilding our military, to rolling up the Muslim Brotherhood, in particular in this country, a stealthy jihad that's underway here, to renewing our alliances, to breaking up the People's Republic of China, and to deterring Russia? How would you allocate your time and energy if you were president to those priorities?
One of my goals would not be to break up the People's Republic of China, but rather to deter it and to some extent contain it where its ambitions are not legitimate or moral. But my first priority, and it would have to be the first priority, would be to dispel the myth that it costs so much to do this. We are spending now less than 3%, just a smidgen less than 3% of our GNP on defense. And from 1940 to the year 2000, in the peacetime years, not in war years, not in mobilization years, in the peacetime years, we spent traditionally an average of 5.7%. Now that's a big difference there. And we don't do that because we scream about how we can't do it, it's too expensive, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's not. We've managed throughout most of our existence to do that. And in recent times, peacetime, 5.7%. Democrats have spent more on defense in that period than Republicans because they were fighting the wars.
And in point of fact, the truth of the matter is we can't afford to do less. That's the bottom line. Mark Halperin, we have to leave it at that for the moment, at the very least. Thank you so much for your generous time today and for the great contributions you make to our understanding of these sorts of challenges and, of course, to our literature and culture. Keep it up, my friend, and come back to us again, if you would, very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.